Remember that song by Bon Jovi, Halfway There?
I believe that was not the name of the song.
Yeah, what is it?
Living on a Prayer.
Yeah. That's right. I like the Halfway There, though. I saw it as a metaphor for life. Like, you're always halfway there, you know?
Yeah, and then like four albums later, he had It's My Life.
Yep. The cheesiest Bon Jovi song is that one about the hometown. Like you gotta go back to your hometown. What is that one?
Oh,
you can go back. You can go back.
You can't go back.
You can't go back.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like a parody of a Bon Jovi song.
I'm not gonna be able to think of it because I'm just stuck with the John Mellencamp "Small Town" song in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's similar to that. It's got the overly sentimental man of the people kind of thing, you know? Although I like both of those songs.
Anyway, I love me some Bon Jovi. Just wish I could sing in that octave.
Yeah.
He's got quite a
who
range.
Who says you can't go home? So he's refuting the idea that one can't go home.
Look at me being all pessimistic and cynical. That never happens.
Yeah. Well, of course, who says you can't go home when you're rich and famous? Bon Jovi goes back to home.
And plays this jam-packed concerts.
Yeah, and he's like, who says you can't go home? Don't be ashamed. It's like, yeah, you're Bon Jovi.
Have you ever seen the Triumph the Insult comic dog thing at the Bon Jovi concert?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. People have traveled as far as exit 12.
Kissel.
Hey, buddy.
You're really sporting it once again.
Yeah.
You go from, like, mullet to pompadour. Like, you were...
Oh, yeah.
You were, like, Billy Ray Cyrus the other day, and now you're Elvis Presley.
Yeah, buddy. It's a way you comb it.
Do you have one of those switchblade combs?
I would.
Like a greaser?
Like an outsider?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I always love the outsiders.
The T-Birds.
Yeah. I got to get a cut, though. I'm going through... When you went through your beard phase, Tom, I'm going through a similar... Mullet type thing.
It's male confusion.
It's not a mullet, though. It's not shorter on the sides.
No, it's just long all around.
Yeah.
No, but what
I'm saying
is...
male confusion?
Male confusion over your grooming habits?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they're normal.
The Vikings...
I'm clean.
Just let it go, you know? They
mm-hmm.
They let it grow. Although, you know, you can mulletize...
Same old tired question. Is that a woman or a man?
Yeah. Well,
For me, it's a man.
Well, Bob Seger.
I know, but I mean, I don't think anyone's confusing me for a woman.
No.
Not too many.
Absolutely not.
But, I don't want to mention her name. She's on television news.
No, but the
kind of look like her a little bit.
But you can make a mullet by combing it slick on the sides. You know, you can give it that look. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Lady
appear,
Gaga does.
It's not a mullet.
Yeah. When I was in the 80s, there was no mullet. It was called a haircut.
Like, what?
It was standard.
Oh, yeah.
Standard male practice was really short on the sides and then leave the back and the front long. And it was actually not seen as rednecky at the time. It was very much like a David Bowie new wave look.
Oh, my cousin had a sweet mullet. He was in a movie about car racing in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Called Catch Me If You Can, and he played the Frosh.
That's great.
And wore sunglasses and had the sweetest mullet.
Was there topless girls in that?
The show
had to be.
Well, there has to be a top. It's a car racing show from the Midwest.
No, it was a movie. I don't believe there were. I know it was rated PG, but that doesn't mean that, because that was at the time when PG was you could have topless.
Yeah.
And you could say one F word, I think.
Oh, yeah, really? And then Tipper Gore got in there and ruined everything.
Yeah, the MPAA didn't create PG-13 until like 89 or something like that.
All right, this is the red eye. I got to introduce the podcast.
You know what? We went for the
Did
longest
Did you already do
time.
It?
No, but I was thinking this is great. We're going for this is the longest pre-show rambling ever.
Is that the goal? So we just do all pre-show rambling. At the end, I'll introduce the podcast.
Well, no, it's just good to do a really long one so then you know how boring it is, and then we won't do that again.
All right, Well, this is the Red Eye Podcast. I'm Ben Kissel. That's Tim Diamond. Tom Shalhoub is with us. Andy Levy is out doing something kind of fun, I'm sure. All right, so continue on. So your friend was in a feature film.
Well,
he played the
stop
Frush.
Being boring now. Apparently I am boring.
No, your stories aren't boring. Mom's. No, it's a great story. Tell us more about
my cousin. No, I did a definitive 25-slide mullet presentation in high school for my PowerPoint
you
final.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, it had great. It had stats with Yammer Yager with the mullet and without the mullet, and showed how he dropped off once he lost the power.
Man, that is most. That is.
It was scored with Scorpion, and Quiet Riot, and the Vandals. I have an ape drape.
Oh, that is, man, simultaneously the most boring slideshow I could ever imagine, and also the most exciting day of school I could ever attend.
It was probably you probably crushed with it, right? It was hilarious.
Yeah. Hey. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
A. Listen, I think a lot of people went into comedy only because, you know, their first entree into comedy was trying to get out of an assignment by doing a comedy bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
No,
sure. That is totally. It's how I got out of Spanish class in college. Was they would ask me what I did this weekend, and I would just answer, "Yo no tengo amigos."
Is that funny?
Means I have no friends. And the teacher would just look at me and then just get all sad-eyed and be like, "He answered in Spanish, so I can't really follow up." And then just move on to the next kid.
So you passed your classes just out of the goodness of your teacher's hearts because they felt so bad for your social life.
Oh, yeah. I tricked them into feeling sorry for me.
Huh. All right.
It's funny, I pass Latin by just saying Veni, Vidi, Vici every Monday.
Don't know what that means either. I always just got something one up on my teachers. For example, there was one teacher, I don't want to say his name here, but Mr. Something. It rhymes with shrill, but you put a B in there. I saw him. I was 15. I was with my friend Jared. We were at El Dorado's in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. It was the smut store.
Oh.
Back when you had to go. Now, this is something we can all relate to, being 35 years old. Back in the day, kids, you had to go publicly purchase. Yep. This stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my teacher in the smut store. He knew we weren't supposed to be there. We were underage. But we knew he wasn't supposed to be there. It was a Christian school. Ever since then, straight A's.
Wow.
Not a problem.
Was that before or after your friend Jared got the Subway contract?
That was actually before. And we did not talk about sexual desires. He was always in the adult section of the adult store. That's all I know. But yeah, that was I really do miss those good old times, you know? Walking through the family video in the very back, you had to go through a curtain. Remember that?
I don't remember that, but no. I didn't go into any of these stores. But, you know, from what I remember in Massachusetts, if there were some XX video or something, it was always. They were always zoned out on the highway, so you couldn't go unless you were a trucker or something.
That was it. If you drive through Wisconsin to this day, nothing but, you know, flyover country by your standards, Tom.
Yeah.
Cheese chalets and
I said,
XXX spots.
Yeah. You know, you keep acting as if I use flyover country, ironically, to make fun of the New York Times crowd. As
oh,
you know.
I see.
Yeah.
That's good. New York Times, by the way, is looking pretty horrible this week.
They are a hilarious entity.
Yeah.
To the point of where Trump should shut up about them because they're just a funny paper now. And so, you know, shouldn't mention them.
We're losing the no politics rule?
Well, Andy's not here. And Donald, we haven't done an election under President-elect Donald Trump yet. And I think by the new law that he did just sign, we have to mention him at least once every 15 minutes. Otherwise, we're un-American. So we got 15 minutes to go.
I'm pretty un-American.
That's fine. Yeah, I remember that, though. Yeah, nothing but cheese chalets and triple X shops. Good times.
My favorite was there's a strip club on somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania, but they would advertise it on the radio, and it was Streakers with two E's.
It's called Streakers?
With two E's, but there were three E's in the word.
Sounds
but
like
they knew saying two would get you to misspell it correctly.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of E-A, it would be E-E.
Streakers sounds like the people on the stage are just like 13-year-old boys with dirty whites for underwear. You know,
Streakers, not good. Yeah,
no.
Sounds like interrupting a boring soccer game.
Yeah, well, that's the only time I was at a Mets game recently. Well, this is about 2 years ago. Get up because they got a Shake Shack in Shea Stadium. Is it called Shea Stadium still?
No,
what's it called?
City Field.
Do they spell it S-H-E-A-K, Shack.
Shake Shack.
I was having trouble spelling that.
Shake Shack?
Shake Shack.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You know the famous Shake Shack, Tom.
I know,
but now it makes more sense.
Yeah.
I'm so fat, I had to go wait in line for a burger instead of watch the baseball game because it can be boring. I missed the streaker. Apparently he had a big, he was running around there.
Oh,
you know, with
yeah.
a bat of his own. Yeah,
the Shake Shack. I don't know how they make it acceptable and exciting to wait in two lines. Like there's two long lines, so you wait in one, and it just is forever. And then you wait in another one, and then you get your hamburger, and you're like, I'm just so glad to have it.
It's unbelievable.
I've only done it once.
Yeah,
because the line's never worth it.
Well, that's the thing is when there is sometimes if it's raining outside and I'm walking by Madison Square Park,
my God.
And the line is short. Because of the rain, yep. I'll say, well, I gotta have a hamburger. Like,
right.
I will make myself get a hamburger because of the short line.
I'll never understand waiting in line. New York City, you should never wait in line for food or to get into a bar. There's so many places. Shake Shack is one of the most. I'll never understand Shake Shack. It's so overrated, isn't it?
How about the, I think it's really good hamburger.
It's good, but is it the best hamburger worth waiting in line in the baking hot sun, squirrels and birds
amazed,
all around?
Because it's in, I'm going by the one that's in Madison Square Park.
The original.
Down by the Flatiron Building.
Yep.
And everybody there is a worker. So they take their whole lunch to wait in the line, and then they get the burger. They have to wolf it down and get back to work.
So it's a scam, you think, to get back to work a little bit later, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, if you are...
Is there an exemption if you're waiting in line at Shake Shack? You don't got to come back to work until that line is concluded?
Maybe. No. Maybe that's it. People like to... I like to be here at work myself. So I want to go down and get a salad and come right back to my desk. So.
Well, you have a very exciting job.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily working in the Flatiron District. Yeah. You know, doing God knows what.
Well, I used to be a man of leisure. You know, back in my days when I was, it was
just all nonstop lines.
Well, I was running around. I was an auditioning. You know, I was essentially a working Joe actor and doing commercials.
Yeah.
So in the world of that, we have the commercial auditions and the voiceovers. It was mostly voiceovers, but we'd go down to that area and we'd just kind of go into the studios and audition for things. And then in between, we'd have long, leisurely lunches and we'd go to coffee shops and stuff. So I would see, you know, they're still down. You can go down there and the guys are still making the rounds down there, but I just haven't been doing it.
I got called out for the funniest audition ever for tomorrow, and I don't have my phone with me. I almost want to go get my phone so I can read this description, this breakdown is unbelievable. They literally say the words Lenny of Mice and Men. They want a huge, I believe they said the R word that ends with arted. And there's a little T in the middle there. It was unbelievable how offensive this breakdown was.
Yeah.
And I should almost go get my phone so I can read it. You know what? I should, Tom. Should I do it?
I mean, why not?
All right. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Tim, keep Tom really entertained.
All right. We will not lock the door. We will not do it. There he goes.
He's
walking out of the building
People
right now.
People don't realize how big this studio is. He actually has to walk to get out of it. Okay, the door's closed. Now, this better be good.
There's no way this will be good.
So,
there is
no possible way
this will be funny.
When he reads the breakdown, you and I, we should either overreact to it and really laugh it up, or we should just be completely underwhelmed.
I'm fine with either. You make the call. I will go on board. I am completely on board. I am betting, though, that it's not as good as he's making it out to be.
Yeah.
Also, I'm betting it's not real either. Like this can't be an actual product.
No, I'm sure it is. The thing about it is that in auditions these days, it's still the last bastion of really offensive. They have to cast. They have to cast people in a certain way. They have to typecast. So every once in a while, people get caught telling the truth in their casting notices, and you come up with something like this.
All right, I got it. This is an audition information for, it's a very reputable video game company. The role is of George. The description of George is large, giant man, developmentally disabled, simple and sweet, has been taken advantage of his whole life due to his size. Think Lenny from Mice of Men. Isn't that wonderful? So if I don't get this, I'm the worst actor on the face of the planet. That's my life story.
Well, you always think that, Kissel, but there's other big guys out there. You know what I mean? Who knows? You might be You're going to go into this call, and you're going to be surprised how many oversized gentlemen there are.
And how many people are slower than you.
Developmentally disabled. So, I mean, I don't really know how you do that. I guess you just sort of talk a little bit slower or...
Well, yeah.
You know.
It's Hodor. They're basically casting for Hodor.
I don't understand it.
Simple and sweet.
I got to say, I was a little bit offended when you get these things. But, you know, people on this bothers me. People on Twitter, Facebook, actors. Mm-hmm. Mostly it tends to be actresses, to be fair. They'll put down a... They'll blast out a breakdown and they'll call it sexist or ageist or whatever. But these are actors. You know, you're supposed to just go fill the role of whatever is needed. You're just you're a prop.
That's what I was talking about. It's the last bastion of, you know, you can't pretend. They always say, and you'll probably says in the notice, looking for all types, all ethnicities, right? They put that disclaimer.
No, this one doesn't even say that.
Oh, it doesn't.
It is just for
not
large, giant men, developmentally disabled, simple and sweet, yet taken advantage of his whole life due to his size.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, there's no. This is all gender. They're all races.
This is uncompromising. This is just think Lenya from Mice of Men. I mean, I didn't get
of Mice and Men.
Of Mice and Men.
Yes.
Yes. Think Lenny of Mice and Men going in. So I'm going to go in with maybe a rabbit or perhaps a decapitated woman.
So you are going to go in on this?
I think I have to. I mean, isn't this the dream, Tom? When I was growing up playing, I started off playing that tree. We talked about that in my first play, and now I'm possibly going to play a slightly dumber Lenny.
Well, are they? It's a video game. Are you saying? Are you going to wear those dots so that you do motion capture?
I would wear the dots, and they motion capture me, and I'd say,
"Oh, that's
you
great.
Know, yeah, give me your squirrel. I want to pet it. You know, whatever the hell they want. I mean, I don't know what these lines are going to be.
Yeah,
my friend. Well, you know, Eddie Toons, Ed Larson, he works with Jeff Ross. He got to be in a video game, and the fun thing, he was in one of these Grand Theft Autos. The fun thing about being cast in those, your friends get to kill you.
Yeah.
So we just did a series of different things to the. Animated version of Ed Larson, and it was cathartic and wonderful.
Yeah, that's a good racket to break into. Mm.
It's a lot of money, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't even...
I've heard those are the worst of the voiceovers, though.
Well, it's a grind.
The day
takes
is
a long
just
time.
What do you
the
do?
Longest possible.
I mean, you got to record... Because, you know, you have to record every eventuality. You got to record tons and tons of stuff that's used
it's like
the
if
game.
You get shot in the foot, if you get shot in the shin, if you get shot in the knee... Yeah.
What if I fall in love? Is there ever a love scene for this giant monster character?
Probably not you.
No.
Your
character won't get love.
You're just a huge target. You're the proverbial side of the barn that... that is shot.
Well, hopefully it's one of the...
You're the cave troll from Lord of the Rings. Well, that just barrels forward.
We need to dive a little bit deeper into the personalities of these cave trolls or these other Lenny-esque characters. You know, they're very simple-minded individuals
well,
in
you
these
need
feature.
To dive into it if you want to get the role.
I don't think they want me to.
You got to fully realize this characterization.
That reminds me of when
you
I was
need a good backstory. You
well,
need
my
a
backstory
good motivations.
They gave me the whole backstory. I'm a giant man, developmentally disabled, and everyone mocked me my entire life and formed me into whatever decrepit creature they want me to be.
Yeah, made you angry.
Yeah, violently angry. That's why you can't have any rodents near me.
Oh, but they said simple and sweet. You might be lovable.
Well, I think that's the whole point. Lovable. That's the only way they take guys like us. We got to be lovable.
Yeah. Well, we did a story recently on the show about the casting that was, I think we did this story about
which
the
one?
No white people. I think it was that, wasn't it?
Was oh, it, that was,
oh, was that
oh,
Hamilton?
Man.
It was the Hamilton Roadshow. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, anybody but white people. And then they got in trouble. And then the casting director said, we didn't mean it. That's wrong. We apologize. But the thing is, that is the casting. That's what they want. So go ahead and say it.
And this is the thing that I like and respect so much about you, Tom. You didn't say, oh, Hamilton, these liberal hypocrites. You stood up for Hamilton and you said they should be able to discriminate if they want to.
Well, that's the whole idea of the show. It was, I mean... There's no question that you shouldn't have white people in Hamilton, not just because it's a, you know, hip-hop show or whatever. It's the idea that it's that part of the appeal of the show.
Right.
And, you know, whether you like that, you know, the idea or not, obviously audiences flock to it.
Yeah.
The idea is that, you know, the old dead white men, let's replace it with young ethnic characters and we'll have a lot of fun.
Right.
It is fun. Have fun. Just
and
admit
you'll be able
you're having
to
fun.
Experience the history through a different eyes without having to look at it through the
there it
veil
is.
Of race.
Exactly. Well, no.
That's perfect.
It is through race.
But
it's
by
the
doing
other
it,
races.
It eliminates it. But by switching the race reversal, you're able to eliminate the criticism of these are old white
exactly.
dead white men.
Yes, perfect. Perfectly said, which is why you should be able to say Mm? We're casting this racially. We want a black guy. We want a Hispanic. White guys, go do another thing.
Constantly getting told to do that.
go do another thing, white guy.
Well, yeah, that's why Hillary Clinton and her gang loved it so much, didn't they?
Gang? Damn. Her gang? Is
her
that what
gang.
You're saying? Her cabal?
Her, yes. Borderline.
Cabal is a good word.
Oh, that made me want to vote for her. If she had a cabal, I could go with that. Not bad. Yeah, you know, I think they're just going to start, you know, all these shows are just sort of copied, regurgitated shows of ladders, such as Friends or something. They'll just recreate a Friends, but you just fill in the Trivial Pursuit pie with certain different ethnicities and races. Maybe you even want to get a tall person in there, if that's possible.
Yeah. I don't know
if,
what you said. No. The last 8 or 9 sentences you've said haven't made any sense to me, but have you been lost as well? I didn't understand.
Is everyone lost?
Yeah, when you were talking about Friends, I didn't understand what you were talking
about. He's saying every show is Friends, but they're not.
Every show is basically Friends.
No,
do you
every
tell me
show
a show
a
by the
show.
Eighth season that doesn't
every
have a duck in it?
Every single show is a cop show. If you're going to go like full on...
Okay, so every show, it's either a cop show or it's Friends.
Or a doctor show.
Or doctor show.
Okay, I think you guys are proving there's many types of shows. Yeah.
Well, none of them have tall people in them. Who's the tallest person you know? None. We get cast for developmentally mentally disabled roles, and you know we have to think Lenny of Mice and Men. We never get
Most
to. Why can't I be a doctor?
Are tall.
What's that?
Most male actors are about 6'2".
No, that's not true. Male actors are 5'7". Tom, you're tall for an actor.
I am tall for an actor, but it's interesting that some of the top movie stars like Sylvester Stallone and
he's tiny,
and Tom Cruise, diminutive little men.
Yes.
But you know, and they end up playing these, you know, physical characters.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
That was a huge backlash over Jack Reacher when he was cast,
because
in the book he's like 6'4",
yeah,
and like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Like,
but in cinema, it makes up for it. I mean, Tom Cruise is a
fantastic
tiny man, but in movies,
he's wonderful.
You know, the there's nothing tiny about him.
No. I saw Patrick Swayze one time in real life, and I was stunned and appalled.
You're right.
He is so small.
He's like you, like if you put you in an oven and just shrunky-dink you down.
Yeah. And that's not right. Maybe that's the biggest role I'll ever get.
Shrunk in an oven. Such a mess of a toy.
I'll be the pre-Patrick Swayze. Well, R.I.P. I guess he won't be able to fulfill his role as the post-me. But my goodness, it's devastating. We need to get some more. Everything should be bigger. No, right. It's not right, Tom.
We're, you know, it's we've got these four guys, and have we ever done the show without Andy?
No.
It's interesting. He doesn't say much, but when he's not here, it's like, oh, there's no Andy.
Yeah.
What's that?
We had Joanne on.
We did. That's right, when he was out. Yeah, it's interesting. We haven't had any. When we started out, I think we immediately had a couple of guests. Did we have Joanne and then somebody else? We said, let's ask people into the studio. But then we kind of fell away with that because we just love each other so much. Who
so
needs
much.
Other interlopers interfering with our podcast, right?
Nobody wanted to do it, Tom. That was the problem. Remember, we were going all around asking everybody, and they would shut their doors right in our faces. It was disgusting. They said, shouldn't you go play a developmentally mentally disabled simple person?
Well, you do so many podcasts. All you do is flap your gums all day. All you do is talk. And yet you were telling me yesterday, you want another show. You want to get into, like, radio, like the old terrestrial game and all this
stuff,
right?
I'll get into terrestrial. I'll do it all. They want me to run for mayor, these people?
Extraterrestrial. I'll do it all. I'll
talk to the aliens. Maybe the aliens will think I'm normal, think all of you people are abnormal. Next thing you know, I'm the king.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Well, I mean... It's interesting. You're kind of a podcasting king at this point, and now. But you were saying, you know, it's interesting that you kind of you wouldn't turn down a radio gig. It's like the old whenever, system.
You got to do it.
Yeah,
you got to do anything that you can get your hands on, especially because otherwise the only roles given to you are Think Lenny of Mice and Men, and it's a nightmare. And you got to do everything. You got to work harder than ever before in today's society because everybody's famous.
Yeah,
and everybody has the possibility of reaching. Tens of people, and then as soon as they reach 30 people, they think they're a celebrity in their own right.
But what's going to happen to radio? Like, you know, I almost never listen to the radio, but when I do, I'm thinking like, oh, this is doable. You know, these people they're still out there making tons of money selling advertising on their radio shows. Obviously, well, more than podcasting. But I have this idea in my head that podcasting is the only way to go now. But it's really not, you know, people are just barely scraping. But you're not making a lot of money on your podcast, are you?
Not enough. No, not enough. Yeah. But we're doing okay, you know, sustainable. You know, it was really that Bill Clinton. He really ruined radio with the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Are you kidding me?
That's what ruined it. That's what made Clear Channel allowed to, you know, become a conglomerate or, you know, a huge entity. They monopolized the entire industry. There's like three DJs. They all live in Florida, and they just spread those DJs all around the country.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that, though. That's what happens with every industry in that time period. You're just kind of...
I don't know, man. That's why the pop music is awful today. All the radio DJs you hear are just like, you know, dislocated random voices from nowhere. Back in the day, you had small town radio DJs that would deliver the hits that they knew Stevens Point, Wisconsin wanted to hear.
Listen, well, I don't buy that. Do you buy this?
I don't buy
the Telecommunications Act ruined radio.
Where are you hanging around? It's a shop steward at your local union? You sound like, you sound like somebody from the ACLU.
What are you talking about? The ACLU. I should alert the ACLU of these inflammatory roles that I'm getting
offered.
I mixed
up my initials. I was talking about the AFL-CIO.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
You know, we've been here. You're blaming it on...
Still don't own the room.
I'm blaming it on Bill Clinton, the person you should not like.
No, I mean, but... It's part of that kind of – it's part of the old leftist game we've been hearing about the deregulation. Like, oh, you used to be able to put your feet up on a plane and get a cocktail, and then Reagan deregulated the industry.
Oh, I get drunk on planes all the time. No, Telecommunications Act. It ruined radio. We have to – speaking of radio, we got to go.
We got to go. What?
We got to end early today.
Yeah,
but don't say early. We're not on radio. This is a podcast. Who knows what's early and what isn't?
Oh, Tom, I'm just trying to have full disclosure with the audience here. You know?
We don't like that.
Okay.
Full disclosure.
Secrets.
Got to go because someone's coming in.
Yeah.
On the way out, there's apparently some VIP that's taking our studio. On the way out, you know what's going to happen?
Uh-huh.
We're going to look. It's going to be like Todd Starnes or something.
And we will bow
accordingly. That would be a very important person. That's right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.